And I want to say good morning. My name is Dan Bolgi. I'm the lead pastor here. So glad that I could be with you today. I really enjoyed this. Has been my first week back in the office. I had a sabbatical, or in pastor terms, we call it ministry renewal leave, which I've learned the hard way that in the corporate world, that sounds bad. But this was actually a really, really good thing that was planned. And looking ahead on September 8th, I'm going to do a full recap of my time away and some of the things that I experienced. But I just want to, first of all, publicly praise our staff. I have heard, I've seen with my own eyes and heard from so many of you how well they did. So I just want to say thank you. Yes. We have tremendously capable and gifted leaders on our staff team, and I appreciate and love them so much. Like I said, September 8th, I'll be kind of doing a recap. This week, during the rest of August, we're at the movies. And this started about last year as we were doing some of these, the block party, like the reptile thing that happened here, where it's just easy invites for people. Even the movie screening that we're doing in a couple weeks, I mean, there's no sermon that's preached at this. It really is just a chance to get together and enjoy our company, but also include others in our neighborhoods and our friendship circles to join us just for an evening of fun. And so we were thinking, is there another thing that we can combine with that just makes it an easy invite? And that's kind of how the At the Movies thing came about. And the reason we use movies is really the same reason they're so popular today. It's the way our culture tells stories. Stories are interesting. They're fun, they're full of emotion. We connect with them and the characters on a very deep level. And Jesus understood this firsthand. Often when he had something really important to communicate, Jesus used a story, used parables. And Jesus used them to tell us a message about hope and life that truly is life. Of course, not every movie, not every story is the same. Some of them come at life from a very different perspective. They hold very different values than we do as a follower of Christ, but that's no different really than many of the people or situations that we encounter in everyday life. And so during the month of August, we're going to examine popular films through the eyes of our own Christian faith, talk about what we find. So this morning's film really isn't a movie, it's a documentary, Free Solo. And like Lindsay said, how many of you are a little disappointed because you thought this was a Star Wars film? Right? Like, oh yeah, that's the Jabba the Hutt one where he freezes. No, that's not it. Free Solo is a documentary that follows really the journey that a certain climber, who I'll name in a moment, had in his quest to climb a certain mountain. Okay, I can't do this because Lindsay handed me this bag. She's like, hey, you got to give this away. And I'm like, okay. So I came up with all these questions, and I realized I'm going to give you all the answers, so I got to do this first, all right? So Free Solo, do you know the name of the climber that is featured in the film? That was the first hand right here.
Alex Honnold.
Yes, Alex Honnold. You got your choice, hot tamales, milk duds, or dots?
Give me the duds.
Oh, man. Now, that's dedication right there. Perfectly okay to eat those right now during the sermon. And because you've got the milk duds, I'm going to ask you to answer more questions just because I want to hear you struggle through it. Okay? All right, next question. What does it mean to free solo? Oh, man, this section, you think they were first? Okay. What does it mean to free solo? That is exactly right. Hot tamale, climbing without ropes, without protection, alone. All right, so hot tamales or dots? See, that's the only way to go right there. I agree. You didn't know how close. Wow. I almost ended your life right there with dots. Okay, finally, for the hot tamales, what did Alex Honnold do? You just had your hand up the whole time. Yes, climbed El Capitan. I'm not going to kid myself. I'm going to walk this down and hand it to you. There you go. You're going to make a lot of best friends in your seats right there right around you. Okay, so yeah, Free Solo. It follows the journey of Alex Honnold. He climbs El Capitan Free Solo, which means free, without ropes or protection, solo, alone. And it's really a story of perseverance, of courage. It celebrates a monumental achievement while making viewers like you and me kind of think through our own beliefs on things like death, danger, really about what does it mean to live life to its fullest. And so this documentary was directed by a husband and wife, Jimmy Chan, and I'm really going to butcher, Elizabeth Chai Varsahelyi. I have a name like that, so we're even. And it won an Oscar for Best Documentary. So we're going to watch the trailer here in just a second. The characters are Alex, really his girlfriend named Sani. The filmmakers themselves are in the movie. And then I would say another character is actually Yosemite, the mountain itself, El Capitan, the mountain itself. Stunning, stunning visuals. Let's watch the trailer together. Okay, I'm curious, how many of you actually saw this film? Okay, and the rest of you are scared of heights, right? Yeah. Was it hard to watch or not? Yeah, I knew that he lived, and it was still really hard to watch. You're just like, watching what he's doing, and I actually enjoyed it. I had to watch it several times to get ready for this. I enjoyed it. Each time I watch it, I actually kind of enjoy it a little bit more. But it's nerve-wracking. It's like watching a train wreck, right? You just can't take your eyes off it, even though you're scared for the worst. Very much gave me mixed emotions. It still does. And so that's kind of how I plan to work through some of the themes this raised for me, both in their positive and negative, but especially as a follower of Christ. I'm going to compare those themes to the gospel and the truth that we discover in God. And so if you're a parent, chances are that you just told your kids, don't ever do that, right? And that it's rated PG-13, and I think that's probably why. Interesting enough, a reporter, I was reading through some extra stuff about it, and he asked Alex, if he worried about kids seeing this and that it, you know, they're going to look up to him as a role model and that might influence them to do very dangerous things. And what he said was really interesting. He's like, you know, gravity sports. I'm like, gravity sports, never thought of it that way. But, you know, any of the X Games where you're jumping motorcycles off things or you're jumping off with a parachute or whatever. He's like, that just takes a moment to psych yourself up and then you jump and gravity takes effect. And I'm thinking, isn't that the same with climbing? But then he made a really good point. Once you're about 15 feet off the ground, the human instinct takes over of fear. And every move you make after that has to be really calculated. And I'm like, well, true, but you've obviously never had a four-year-old, right? Because there is some point where that kind of sinks in for us. We learn it when we're young. But this documentary is really a celebration of human achievement. At least that's how the filmmakers portray it. Alex has a goal. Alex accomplishes his goal. It takes perseverance. It takes determination and courage. And there's really nothing wrong with recognizing and celebrating people for the accomplishments in their life. In fact, that's what we do as parents, as teachers, as employers. You know, we praise people when they do something well, right? We encourage them to do it again. And human beings, though, often find a way to kind of short circuit this in really unhealthy ways. And there can be a fine line between celebrating people and worshiping them. I've often wondered how God looks at our culture. You know, we have a celebrity-based culture. We put people on the highest pedestal that we can possibly put them, and then we wonder why they aren't perfect. There's nothing wrong with celebrating others, but our highest praise, our adoration, needs to be reserved for God alone. And I don't believe this movie worships Alex, but people are in awe of him for sure. They're in awe of him, not because he's the best climber in the world. I didn't know anything about climbing until this last week. There's actually quite a, you know, he's elite for sure, but there's lots of people who are technically better than he is, but they're just kind of in awe of the psychological processes, I guess. Like there's something extraordinary about him because all of those people use rope all the time, and Alex doesn't. He's a part of a small percentage of elite climbers that free solo. And so the filmmakers wanted to capture this moment, and they too had a lot of mixed emotions about it. I was really surprised by that. In fact, one of my favorite characters in this movie, I'm not even sure his name, but he's a professional climber. And there's Tommy Caldwell. He was the guy saying, the people that know exactly what he's doing are freaked out. But then there's a guy who's like running the camera and he's like, I can't even watch. I loved that guy. He was just so honest. He's like, he's being paid to do this. He's filmed Alex before. He's gotten to know him. He likes him. And he's just wrecked. He's like, I can't even take, I'm so nervous. Just tell me when he's, you know, done. It's kind of his attitude. And Tommy Caldwell, the other guy in there, said, to the people who know exactly what Alex is doing, they're freaking out. But Alex has done this hundreds of times. And surprisingly, he's not a thrill seeker. He actually doesn't have a death wish. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. For him, it's all very calculated. So in a really positive light, it says a lot about courage and perseverance. Alex has a goal. He trains, he prepares 8 years for this. He encounters failure, he has setbacks, and eventually achieves his goal. Think about that. Have you ever worked? Have you ever worked that hard or persevered that long? 8 years? He says he often wondered if he would ever do it because it scared him. That blew me away. I mean, here's someone who's used to heights, you know, and yet he said it scared me, which I think is normal and good God-given thing right there. So how did he do that? Well, he kind of broke it down. I think it's like 32 pitches, which I learned a pitch is a rope length. And so as they look at this route, he kind of broke it down into different pitches. And, you know, some of them you and I could climb right now because it's not vertical. Others of them you have to be pretty good. And then there's a few sections that even the most elite climbers, 50% of the time will fall off. So he just does it over and over again. I read National Geographic, like some of these areas he rehearsed. He did it over and over like 100 times. Practice, and he'd keep journals, and he kind of memorized all the... I mean, it's fascinating how he built up his stamina, his strength. It took a lot of endurance. So a couple weeks ago, here's my climbing... here's how I relate to this, okay? I climbed Mount Baker with Chris Schmidt. He's crazy, too. But that's just for crossing over cracks in the snow. It took us 7 hours to reach the top, and that's because I'm slow. We were hiking up the glacier, and I got a few photos here. There's the top of Mount Baker. Here's Chris. We're actually hiking down at that point. The next one. There's the man. I'm taking the pictures, so there's pretty much none of me. Here's Chris with the crampons and the rope. I'm attached to the other end of that. This is just, it's just so breathtakingly beautiful in so many ways. Here's like almost the next, this is where I got tired. So go to the next picture. I didn't take any photos until I got to the top. And I rested here while Chris actually went to the summit. But it was stunning. Then the next picture, we encountered lots of people going up and down. I don't know if there is there one more? That's it. So it was incredible experience. As we were going up, I couldn't catch my breath. Chris was so good about stopping and waiting for me, or I would just tug on the rope and tell him to stop. But I had this, like the last couple hours, I get altitude, or I don't do well with the altitude, and so I couldn't catch my breath. And I'm literally like, as I'm breathing, I'm like, I have this cadence of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Three steps. I can do all things through Christ. I'm not joking. Like, I was dreaming about IHOP pancakes, and I was so hungry. I'm sure it was the lack of oxygen to my brain. But I did that on and off for hours. And after we reached the top and then hiked all the way back down to the car, this was 16 hours of climbing up and down, I felt so relieved and so thankful that I made it. And I jokingly told Chris, I don't know if you remember this, I said, I feel like I've been climbing that mountain for the last 5 years. And it's one of those things that comes out of your mouth and you realize, like, that actually has a lot of truth to that. I feel like I've been climbing that mountain for the last 5 years. We all face mountains in our life. Unlike Alex, sometimes climbing them isn't of our own choosing, but we do get to choose our response. We can choose to keep going or to quit. The Bible has a lot to say about suffering, a lot to say about endurance and perseverance. See, the Apostle Paul, he was writing to Christians. They were living in Rome at the time, and he was actually under house arrest because of his faith in Christ. He knew that others were probably going to face a similar fate. And so he told them this. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. I'm going to read that again. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Paul, he sounds like a glutton for punishment, doesn't he? I don't think anything could sound more at odds with where we are at in our society. Whether it's talk shows, podcasts, self-help authors, health and wealth preachers, even many of our friends, we're trying to escape suffering. Amen? Paul is telling us to embrace it. Don't escape suffering. Embrace suffering. Look at what he says. Suffering, ... leads to hope. There's a few really important bus stops along the way, and we have no idea how long that's going to take. Unfortunately, suffering, endurance, perseverance, building character, it leads to hope. Through our faith in Christ, even our suffering can be redeemed. In fact, God has the power to transform us through suffering. I always wonder why it's so much easier to follow Jesus when things are kind of hard. You know, when things are going well and great, I don't know, you just kind of forget. At some point, I hope that I can move past that so things can just always be well and good. But yeah, when things are hard, it reminds those neurotransmitters, they fire. You think, you know, I need help. I have to depend on the Lord here. It builds endurance and characters. It points us towards hope. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When Paul says that hope doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts, you know, I just envision this little cup that all of us try and fill one way or another. And, you know, what's your drug of choice, right? Is it success and accomplishments? Is it status? Maybe it's relationships or pleasure or experiences that we might have, possessions. It could be anything. The only problem is that cup leaks. It leaks. It doesn't stay full for very long. And we keep having to go out and put stuff in it again. And so Paul's saying we can invite the Holy Spirit to do his work in us, to heal the cracks in our hearts, to fill us with his abundant love. You know, when we do that, when we receive God's love, pouring it into our hearts, life doesn't seem half empty all the time. There's an abundance that we can only find in a relationship with Christ that can fill us in a way nothing else can. So no matter what we face, no matter what challenges we go through, whatever mountains we have to climb, we don't have to rely purely on our own strength. We have the Lord. We have hope, knowing that he's with us, will not abandon or forsake us. So I mentioned earlier that Free Solo gave me mixed emotions. It bubbles up a lot of issues that they don't resolve in any way. They just kind of open the cookie jars and then let you figure it out. One of those is just the simple question, why? Why would you do something that so easily could result in a horrific death? Why? It never flushes that out in a satisfying way. And we're going to see this in the next scene. Alex is talking about some of the things his mom used to tell him, some of his upbringing. And he's also talking about the potential of dying with his friend Tommy Caldwell. And Tommy is asking him, he'd recently had a fall and sprained his ankle, and so Tommy's asking him, like, what happened there? Let's watch this together.
My mom's favorite sayings are, presque ne compte pas, almost doesn't count, or good enough isn't. No matter how well I ever do at anything, it's not that good. The bottomless pit of self-loathing. I mean, that's definitely the motivation for some soloing.
Here we are. So I still never, like, quite understand what happened when you fell. Do you even know? You just kind of, like...
I don't know why I fell off, but I mean, I know my skin was, like, hard and dry. It was, like, lightly raining, kind of, and, like, really windy.
Brady doesn't even say he knows what happened. He's like, suddenly I was falling, which is kind of surprising me, because I feel like he's always so aware. Where I'm like, maybe he's not always totally aware. You know, Alex talks about having this armor when he solos, and I think as, like, a friend or a family member of him, you kind of have to have that same thing. Like, after that happened, for whatever reason, it waked me up more than normal. You know, normally I'm just like, oh, he's got it, he's such a beast, you know, he's gonna be fine, but... I just, like, stressed out about something, by the way, you know?
Look, I don't want to fall off and die either. But there's a satisfaction to challenging yourself and doing something well. That feeling is heightened when you're for sure facing death. You can't make a mistake. If you're seeking perfection, free souling is as close as you can get.
And it does feel good to feel perfect, like for a brief moment.
My friends who were like, oh, that'd be terrible, but if I kill myself in an accident, they'll be like, oh, that was too bad. But like life goes on, you know, like they'll be fine. I mean, and I've had this problem with girls a lot, you know, they're like, oh, I really care about you. I'm like, no, you don't. Like if I perish, like it doesn't matter. Like you'll find somebody else. Like that's not the big deal. Maybe that's a little too callous.
Maybe that's a little too callous. I mean, there's, if I'll bring this up, there's parts there I just want to jump out and I just want to hug him, you know? You know, one of the questions, is it really possible that the reason Alex climbs thousands of feet above the ground without a rope or any protection, it's because his mom told him he couldn't do it? Seriously? I mean, naturally what motivates us in anything is a complex equation. But I've been a pastor long enough, I've met enough people, I've walked through enough crises that people have faced. I know enough about psychology to say, yes, absolutely, that's a part of it. And as much as we'd like to say the past is behind me, we are a product of our experiences. Now that's way different than saying I'm a victim. We all have hurts, we all have flaws, we're part of a fallen world, but full healing can only happen when we bring ourselves to Jesus. And the shocking realization for me in watching this is that Alex does risky things not because he's trying to get someone's attention or put the spotlight on himself. That's how I just assumed why he was doing it. It's to prove to himself or to gain his mother's approval or his own approval. That French saying, good isn't good enough. It's like a bottomless pit of self-loathing. If you want protection, perfection, free soloing is as close as it gets. And that's where I wanted to stand on my seat and hug Alex through the screen if I could and just say, buddy, you are loved. You're loved. Just for who you are. First and foremost by God himself, who loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die, because you are not perfect. In no quest that we ever embark on, we can never be perfect. God knows that about us. Maybe free soloing is as close as it gets. I will never know. But Alex says to himself, almost isn't good enough. See, here's the thing about God. God knew you and all of your faults and all of your brokenness long before you knew you. And before any of that realization happened in you, he had already climbed up on a cross and died for you. When you discover some horrible thing about yourself or you finally have regret over something that you caused or whatever, Jesus doesn't go, oh, okay, I got to climb back up on that cross and die for that one. No. Once and for all, Jesus died for our sins. And there's so much about performance in here that, I mean, I could just camp out on this for a long time. You and I do not have to be perfect. And you're like, well, I'm not trying to. Oh, you're not. Drive around the Snoqualmie Valley. You know, you don't have to have a perfect house with a beautiful white picket fence and two freshly detailed cars sitting in the front yard for people to love you. Okay? Your kids do not have to qualify for an Ivy League school for you to be a successful parent. Companies actually hire people from UW, believe it or not. Right? You're supposed to laugh at that. Right? And all your cougars are like, amen. No, it's crazy the kind of expectations that we place on ourselves, or God forbid, what we do to our kids. The expectations we've placed on our children. Why? Love is not love if it has conditions attached to it. No. God's love is freely given to us just for who we are. And I know you've been to church and you've heard that 100,000 times, but maybe you'll hear it in a new light. God likes you because of you're you. Not because you've impressed him or because you got 1,500 on your SAT or whatever. God likes you. He loves you. And one of the biggest question marks this movie brings out has to do with life and death. You know, life is precious. You and I are made in the image of God. We bear his image. That means something. And bearing the image of God means that I'm going to recognize and respect you and every other person I meet as an image bearer of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what political view you have or personal experiences you have, you are a child of God. I will respect you. I will love you. That's a bottom line thing that as a follower of Christ, that's a non-negotiable. And Alex has this, life is precious. Alex has a really cavalier attitude, I used to say, towards life and death. But it's actually, he's trying to get the most out of life. He has a really cavalier attitude towards death. He doesn't seem to, I mean, he doesn't get it. You know, he's cheating death on all these free solo things. And it profoundly affects people around him. In fact, it starts to seem really selfish. Even though Alex never intends it to be. Especially watch, I want to watch its next scene, or last and final scene here, as Alex and his girlfriend Sani talk about free soloing and kind of about their relationship too.
That you have where you're like, oh, we're all gonna die, like might as well do what we want to do while we're here, and it's okay when people die, but I feel like I want you to meet me halfway and when you solo to take me into the equation. And then I think you said there's going to be would putting me into the equation actually ever change anything? Would you actually make decisions differently
if I had some kind of obligation to maximize my lifespan? Then, like, yeah, obviously I'd have to give up soloing.
Was me asking you, do you see that as an obligation now?
No.
Oh.
No. But I appreciate your concerns, and I you know, I respect that, but I in no way feel obligated, no.
To maximize lifetime?
No. I don't know. But I mean, like, you saying be safer, I'm kind of like, well, I mean, I can't, you know, I'm already doing my best. So I could just like not do certain things, but then you have like weird simmering resentment because the things that you love most in life have now been squashed. You know what I mean?
As they fade to black. And that's the point where I wanted to jump up and shout at her, run, right? I mean, at one point I wrote down, first of all, holistic approach, that's not holistic. Oh, you know, just, we only have one life and do what we want and we're all gonna die. That's not holistic, okay? At one point I wrote down, if you care so little for yourself, how can you care for your girlfriend? You know, people aren't expendable, and that counts for you, for I, for us as well. All of his friends, like that maximizing my lifespan. It's like, yeah. Never thought of that. I'm going to try and maximize my lifespan. That's why all of his friends are freaked out. Well, like Tommy said in the last clip, you know, I realize I need armor to be Alex's friend, and that's sad. You know, they love him not because he's this climber who performs. They just love him. They enjoy being around him. They like doing life together. And so thinking about free solo isn't just climbing. Like, that's kind of how Alex lives, free solo. And so they choke up when they let their minds think about what if. And on the day of the big climb, you know, one of the camera guys says, it's hard to think about Alex's existence being over today. Like, wow, that was a very cold way of, I'm scared to have Alex die today. And he's terrified. You would be too if you thought this was it. But there's more to our existence than this sliver of life we know now. You know, the gospel, the good news we find in Jesus, it's more than Jesus died to make things right with God. It's that he rose. He rose to new life. He's defeated death, eternal death and separation from God who made us. It's good news that we can live forever. It's good news that we can taste life now. And rather than just make us ho-hum about our life, it makes us realize that life matters. My purpose, what is my purpose in life? You know, what I do now has lasting impact on the lives of those around me because God hasn't designed life to be free solo. He hasn't. It seems like such a juxtaposition. There's a lot of things in life, and especially in Scripture, that you have to hold in tension. One of those, when I read 1 Corinthians 9, we'll put it up on the screen for you. Paul writes this. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. This has to do with priorities. He's not saying, why run? He's like, if you're gonna run, like, run to get the prize that lasts. Because all this stuff around us is really temporary in the scheme of eternity. And the positive mark that we can make on others, that lasts forever, especially when you help point someone towards Christ or when you show them the love and the power of Jesus, which can happen in a multitude of ways, whether it's helping people build wells or just welcoming them to the neighborhood. There's so many things that we can do for the benefit of others, and the attitude in our culture that we only have this one life, so we may as well do what we want, that's so misguided. And in midlife, what I see over and over again is people just heading down the cul-de-sac of selfish ambition, right? Well, the cup is empty, I've tried to fill it in all the ways that I could, and it's not working, so we're just gonna trash this and start over. It's a cul-de-sac, it doesn't go anywhere. What makes life the fullest is when we align our relationship with God, when we allow his love to fill us, we start to see the world through new eyes. His purposes become our purposes. His goals become our goals. His abundant life becomes our abundance. Our lives matter, not to build our own glory, but to build God's glory. You know, when you're depressed and when you're just it's hard to focus on anything else but you. And when you start to look around to the world around you, and you step out of that shell, that love is a sacrifice, but it's one happily made. When you love someone, it's just freely given, and the joy that brings, and the purpose that brings, and the hope that brings you and others is astonishing. If you've never tasted it, I challenge you. If you have tasted it and it's been a while and you feel like you've headed down the cul-de-sac, turn around. That's repentance. Come back to the Lord. He has good gifts waiting for us. Life is never intended to live free solo. And no matter what we face, mountains we have to climb, the hardships and suffering that we go through, it's not pointless. With God's power, we can endure it. To him be the glory, honor, and power forever and ever. Please join me in prayer. Lord, it's so easy just for, well, I don't know if it's getting lost, or sometimes we forget, or no one's shown us the way. But it's kind of amazing to me that you could make a living as a professional climber, and maybe I'm just a little jealous about that. But whether we're a pro climber or an insurance salesman or a corporate VP or a pastor, you've called us to something greater outside of ourselves. And the cup will always seem empty until we learn that you have to fill it to overflowing, and that spills out on everyone around us. Help us to live a life like that. That's life to the fullest. We're not going to escape some of the hard challenges that we face, and in fact, some of those you put in our path. And that suffering can turn into perseverance and character. Because there's hope. You're doing something bigger than just us, or something bigger in our lives than just our own happiness. Help us, Lord, to see those purposes and to endure it. We can do all things through you who give us strength. So we pray, I just pray a general prayer, Lord, for all the people in this film. You know, you see these things and you feel like you know people, and that's not true, but God, you want what's best for them. You want to bless them, Lord, and so draw them to yourself. Might they know you and love you and serve you, Lord. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.